Israel's deadly attack on the Gaza aid flotilla. And an investigation reveals alarm systems on BP's oil rig were switched off for a year before the blast occurred.
It is 2:30 a.m. here in Tehran and 6 p.m. in New York. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has warned of a new scenario against his country that includes a military attack against two countries in the Middle East.
یه طراحی جنگ روانی جدیدی کردن با شیطنت با بعضی هم در داخل هماهنگ کردن که یه فضای سنگین رو به قول خودشون علیه ما در دنیا را بندازن، فشار بیارن، این فشار رو به اوج برسونن، در اوج این فشار به یک دو تا از کشورهای خاورمیانه که دوست ما هستن حمله نظامی بکنن با کمک این صهیونیست‌های بی آبرو تا به خیال خودشون در ایران یک توقفی، یک ضعفی، یک اراده‌ای برای تسلیم پیدا بشه.
Well, Ahmadinejad said this is a scenario created by the U.S. to leave Iran in a state of shock. Now, this while certain political circles say Syria and Lebanon could be the next Israeli targets in the region. Ahmadinejad also warned that Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said about Iran's nuclear capabilities is a prelude to this scenario. Earlier this month, Medvedev said Iran is getting closer to having the potential to develop nuclear weapons.
The UN Human Rights Council has named the team that will investigate Israel's deadly attack against a Gaza-bound aid flotilla in May. The team of three experts will see whether Israel violated international law when it fatally attacked the aid convoy. The panel is made up of a British, a Malaysian, and a Trinidad and Tobagan national. The United Nations has asked Israel to cooperate with the investigators when they travel to the region. Israel's attack on a Turkish-flagged aid ship in international waters left nine activists dead and injured many others. The move sparked international condemnation. Israel has already rejected an international probe into the assault.
Two Spanish activists have sued Israel over its deadly attack against a Gaza-bound aid flotilla. The activists, who were both on board the flotilla, say they've sued Israel for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Manuel Tapiel and Laura Arau have lodged a complaint against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, six members of his cabinet, and a senior military official. The two activists have also vowed to send two aid ships to Gaza soon in another attempt to break Israel's siege.
Meanwhile, the British government has announced plans to change the country's universal jurisdiction laws. This comes following pressure from Israel, whose ministers face arrest warrants in the UK over war crimes charges. Farin Alam now reports from London.
For years, suspected war criminals have entered the UK with trepidation, and in some cases even cancelled their trips for fear of the country's universal jurisdiction laws. Last year, a court issued an arrest warrant for the Israeli opposition leader Zippy Livni for her role in Operation Cast Lead in Gaza, but later withdrew it after facing pressure from the British Foreign Office. Since then, a concerted effort has been underway to change the law, both from within government and the pro-Israeli lobby. This week, Justice Secretary Ken Clark announced,
"Our commitment to our international obligations and to ensuring that there is no impunity for those accused of crimes of universal jurisdiction is unwavering. It is important, however, that universal jurisdiction cases should be proceeded with in this country only on the basis of solid evidence that is likely to lead to a successful prosecution. Otherwise, there is a risk of damaging our ability to help in conflict resolution or to pursue a coherent foreign policy."
If the changes go ahead, the Director of Public Prosecutions can veto any arrest warrant issued by the courts. It's a move many oppose.
"We will be fighting, as will everybody else who supports peace and justice and human rights, against any changes to this law. It is incredibly important that we support the right of those who have been victims of war crimes to seek remedy in the British courts. And we don't want to send a green light from Britain that war criminals are welcome here. We don't want to be rolling out the welcome mat.
The British government knows it's got a big fight on its hands. After all, the law has been in place for decades and is seen by many as a crown jewel in the country's legal system.
The government's intention to change this law is significant, but it still has to pass through both houses of parliament. MPs in the upper and the lower houses will no doubt be lobbied very hard by both the pro and the anti-Israeli lobbies. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
The Turkish court has issued arrest warrants for 102 suspects allegedly involved in a coup plot against the government. Now, the suspects, including 56 generals, 26 of them currently active, will be jailed pending trial on charges of conspiring to overthrow the government in 2003. The former Navy and Air Force chiefs are also among the suspects. A total of 196 defendants are expected to stand trial over the plot. The court has set the first hearing in a prison complex near Istanbul on December the 16th. Investigation has revealed that essential warning systems on the disaster-stricken Deepwater Horizon oil rig were deliberately turned off.
Indeed, now the April 20th explosion on the rig claimed 11 lives and has poured millions of gallons of crude into the ocean ever since. It has become the worst environmental disaster in the U.S. history. New evidence has shown that both visual and audio sound alarms were switched off a full year prior to the explosion. A maintenance worker on the rig, Mike Williams, says he was ordered by his superiors to shut down the crucial safety devices because, quote, they did not want people woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning due to false alarms. The new findings raise new questions about the disaster and whether or not the lives of 11 workers could have been saved. This gross negligence has implicated rig owner and operator BP and Transocean further into the cause of the accident and its prevention. Meanwhile, tens of people working on the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico have evacuated the area.
And this is Tropical Storm Bonnie has gathered pace and is getting closer to the spill site. The U.S. government has ordered ships and drilling rigs to be moved to safety before the storm hits the area. Bonnie's moving toward the spill site with wind speeds of over 65 kilometers per hour. It could reach the area as early as Saturday. U.S. authorities say the ruptured oil well will remain capped while ships evacuate the Gulf, but relief well drilling has already been suspended for 2 weeks. In other news, fresh clashes have erupted between Indian security forces and protesters in Indian-controlled Kashmir.
This after hundreds of people in the northern town of Kupwara took to the streets in defiance of a curfew. Indian security forces fired tear gas to disperse demonstrators protesting Indian rule. Scuffles have also been reported in Srinagar and the northern towns of Palhalan and Baramulla. The clashes erupted after Indian police sealed off a shrine and prevented Kashmiris from marching to the site. Many parts of Indian-controlled Kashmir have been under curfew for most of the past 6 weeks. The curfew was imposed after the killing of a teenager sparked protests. He was killed in June when Indian police fired tear gas during a demonstration. At least 16 other protesters have been killed ever since.
A bomb has exploded inside a mosque in eastern Afghanistan, wounding at least 22 people. Local officials say the blast was caused by a mine placed inside a mosque during Friday prayers. A candidate in the upcoming parliamentary elections was also among the wounded. The injured were taken to a hospital in nearby host city. Afghanistan is due to hold national parliamentary elections in September, but there is fear that a surge in Taliban attacks and fighting with international forces could undermine security for the vote.
As you can see, a mine was placed by our enemies in one of the mosques in the Mandozai district, which exploded during Friday prayers. 22 people were wounded.
Two U.S. lawmakers have proposed a bill demanding the withdrawal of all American troops from Pakistan. Democratic Representative Dennis Kucinich says U.S. forces have been operating secretly inside Pakistani territories without congressional approval. He says the covert operations are a violation of the 1973 War Powers Resolution. It allows the U.S. president to send armed forces into military operations abroad only if Congress approves the decision. Kucinich referred to reports that say Washington is stepping up its military presence inside Pakistan. Republican lawmaker Ron Paul says U.S. military has significantly increased its operations in Pakistan without providing any data. Paul says increasing U.S. military activity in Pakistan has little to do with protecting the United States and in fact is creating more enemies than it is defeating. The House of Representatives is expected to act on the bill next week.
You're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick check of the headlines this hour. Iran's president says the U.S. and Israel are planning to attack two Arab countries in the Middle East. The United Nations names a team to investigate Israel's deadly attack on the Gaza aid flotilla. And an investigation reveals alarm systems on BP's oil rig were switched off for a year before the blast occurred.
And still ahead here on Press TV's World News, Iran sees foreign investment rise in 2010. Seven of Europe's banks have failed stress tests to see if they can handle another financial crisis. The banks have shown an overall shortfall of 3.5 billion euros. Five of the seven failures came in Spain and the two others in Germany and Greece. The tests have shown that Europe's banks could suffer 566 billion euros in asset write-downs and trading losses over the next 2 years. The tests were held to restore confidence in European markets and increase transparency about the resilience of European banks, but many experts believe the tests are not credible enough. This as European states, mainly in the Eurozone, have injected hundreds of billions of euros into banks with the support from the IMF. Euro tumbled 2 cents to $1.28 after the results were disclosed. More bad news for the U.S. economy. The world's number one economy is to face a record budget deficit this year.
Washington says the economy is facing strong headwinds as too many Americans are still out of work. The White House has predicted the budget deficit will reach $1.47 trillion in 2010 fiscal year. That means the administration of President Barack Obama is borrowing more than 40 cents of every dollar it spends. Analysts say the new estimates paint a grim unemployment picture as the economy experiences a high rate of joblessness. A recent report shows a recession has forced state and local governments to cut jobs, with public education facing the worst situation in 30 years.
Iran shies away from dollar and euro currencies in order to neutralize restrictions by the West. The new UN sanctions targeted Tehran's oil and gas industries. They also limit foreign banks to do business with Iran. In response, Tehran has decided to trade and receive payments in local currencies such as yuan, lira, and dirham. The move is most significant in Tehran's dealings with Beijing. Iran is the third largest oil supplier to China, and its trade with Beijing is on a rapid rise with more than $20 billion in bilateral trade last year alone.
According to the latest UNCTAD World Investment Report, foreign investment in Iran has seen a rise of 86% in 2010, placing the country in the sixth position among the top 10 countries in this regard. Press TV's Gisu Misha Ahmadi has more.
With an 86% rise in foreign direct investments, Iran is among the few countries that continue to be the safe haven for investors, while many others are going through tough times. Because of the global financial crisis of 2007, triggered by a liquidity shortfall in the United States, many countries have experienced a drop in foreign direct investments. Only 20 countries, including Luxembourg, Denmark, and the Cayman Islands, have managed to attract investors, although they have not compensated for their losses over the past 3 years. Meanwhile, Cyprus, Qatar, and Iran have had a stable growth. The United Nations Conference on Trade and Development's World Investment Report on 140 countries shows that Iran now stands sixth with foreign direct investments worth $3 billion, up from $1.2 billion in 2005. With the global financial crisis and 4 rounds of sanctions passed by the UN Security Council, how is that possible?
Iran's economy is largely dependent on internal variables, and therefore its economic index is not affected by international variables. Even the capital market has had a 60% growth over the past year, and last month, after a new round of sanctions was approved, there was a 20% increase. This means that international variables don't even have a psychological effect on our economy. That is because the economy has its own indices and cannot be determined by politics.
Oil and gas and industry seem to be the most lucrative sectors, attracting 63 and 29% of foreign investments respectively. And Iran is promoting other sectors of its economy, easing laws for foreign investors and cutting the red tape, while the World Investment Report points to agriculture and food industries as emerging hosts.
Obviously, because of the capacities of the country, there are more investment in sectors such as oil and gas or industry, but we need to reach a point where other sectors like agriculture and transportation get what they deserve. Already, Turkish investors will be cooperating in the construction sector.
The 2010 World Investment Report says that the financial crisis of 2007 has had its effect on foreign direct investments in 2009, with a global minus 37% growth, and therefore predicts better days to come. Global direct foreign investments is on the rise, and it's expected to reach $2 trillion in 2012. Gizum Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
Elsewhere, there are growing fears of a possible outbreak of xenophobic attacks in South Africa. The army has moved into at least one township so far to maintain order, but foreigners are bracing themselves for worse. Press TV's Hassan Syria reports.
They came here seeking peace. Instead, survival in South Africa has proved as challenging as a war-torn Somalia. In the past 6 years, Abdurrahman Abdullah has endured numerous attacks.
2006, two times I got for attack. Sometimes one time I got injured. One time they beat me a gun here in the head. And here, even when we are here, until here in Guguletu, they attack us two times. But unfortunately, we call a police, and the police help us.
Now, foreign nationals in South Africa live in fear again after warning letters were circulated in some communities threatening attacks. Foreign nationals, especially from the rest of Africa, are blamed for taking South African jobs or because their shops in townships pose an economic threat to local business.
This one you can pay for 7 rand at Somali shopkeepers or Somali traders, this white bread. And when it comes to local business people, if you go there and buy a loaf of white bread, you pay 8.50 to 9 rand, close to 10 rand.
But as this community worker tells us, foreign nationals are soft targets and the government should be implementing laws to protect local business.
When it comes to group of people who are running away from those problems coming to any country, those people are supposed to be accommodated at the immigration camp, and they have certain rights where to go and when what to do in the country. We are expecting the government to take a full responsibility when it comes to what the problem is today.
It is this image created by the 2010 Soccer World Cup that South Africa cannot afford to have tarnished by a new wave of xenophobic attacks, the root cause of which, we are told, is communities' frustration with government's inability to deliver proper services. Communities question how is it possible for government to build multi-million dollar stadiums but not houses. Hassan Sidiya, Press TV, Cape Town.
Well, with that, we come to an end of world news here on Press TV. Don't forget to log on to our website, presstv.ir, for more details on these stories and a lot more. For those of you on the move, you can always watch us live or listen to audio streaming right there on presstv.ir. The website being updated every minute as we speak. Scrolling down, you can always participate in our My Vote section. We would love to hear your opinion. And also check out the details on how to SMS us your comments and feedback, and a lot more on presstv.ir.
Stage 18 of the Tour de France has ended. Find out who won with Sheena in Sports International.